Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing High Hopes. Smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes. High Hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly, Fritzy. First three-game sweep of a series since June. They did it, buddy. We're back. The Field of Dreams game saved the season. Of course, there are leaks about our manager and there's all kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, we'll get to it. How you doing, pal?
They're making me want to celebrate unresponsibly. I'm just kidding. But we are the three-game sweep over the Twins. The ball that bounced off the right fielder's glove out of the Field of Dreams game, I think very clearly was the moment that when we're all having the parade down Broad Street, we're going to look back and say, hey, when did the tide turn for this team? And it's going to be like, well, there was that time going through a tough period, lost 6 of 8 series, and then we went to Iowa. And we were in a movie, felt like we were in a movie, and everything just sort of clicked after that. So, yes, it is just when you're like, yeah, they're probably done, they go out and they do this whole thing, which is about as Phillies as it gets. So I can't believe the Twins bought. I don't know why. They absolutely stink. But regardless, who let the Phillies get hot?
It was nice to see 10-5 in August.
Yeah.
Alec Bohm, 13 for his last 23 in his last 6 games, on fire. How about it? Look, it's nice to see him hit. I think Schwarber, the power coming back, has been one of the biggest things. You know, that drought was so concerning, and it just shows as soon as he starts hitting, the offense goes. You know, it's so important. And to the Field of Dreams point, obviously, shout out to LaScala's Fire. We had such a great time with everyone who came out to that event. Another victory on a High Hopes night. No big deal for us. But it really was special. You know, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, it's fun that we're in the Field of Dreams game. It was way cooler and way, like, more special feeling than I expect to be. Like, watching them walk out of the corn and, like, the whole thing. That first homer going into the corn, like, it really did feel, for lack of a better term, and I know it's a little romantic, but it felt, like, kind of magical watching that game.
It did. It was a combination of magic and eerie in a way.
Sure. Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah.
Kind of
in the
eerie.
Middle of nowhere. It was like a baseball game in the middle of nowhere. It's strange.
Middle of nowhere, right next to the field where they actually filmed the movie. I thought that everything is kind of filmed in California, no matter what. I was surprised that they actually.
Oh, yeah. No, they filmed it in Iowa. So it's because they actually left the field there and, like, you can go see it and, like, you know, go to the check it out and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So it was definitely cool stuff. And, you know, for a team that was kind of going through a bit of a malaise and kind of felt like they needed some kind of spark, maybe just getting away and taking part in something that was very different and allowing them to kind of come together in a way. I don't think it's crazy to suggest that that is something that legitimately could spark them and get them right back into or snap out of whatever funk they were in and get them back to playing good baseball, because, like, they had been on a pretty damn good run and they had really solidified a spot. And, you know, there are lulls through a baseball season. We know that, but you can't let the lulls just keep happening. I mean, that's what happened in 24. It felt like we were trending towards the 24 second half where they might make the playoffs, but you certainly don't feel very confident heading into the playoffs. And they needed to right the ship, and they certainly have. And offensively, you know, that's the biggest takeaway of what's going on right now is, you know, there's a couple things. You know, their numbers since Arise has shown up, and I don't know if one player changes everything, but it's just interesting that, you know, they had the worst OBP in the sport when he got here.
Arrived, yeah.
And now they have the best, the second best OBP, the best walk rate, and they are 29th in strikeouts. So I don't think that's all Luis Arise. I think certainly what Bryson Stott has done has helped that. Obviously, Bryce is walking at a prime Barry Bonds rate right now, as his OBP since the Arise trade is 506, I believe.
It almost feels like he's like, yeah, see, you get someone behind me. You know, it's almost like, yeah.
Told you. I'm like, told you I could do it. Jeez. Would you guys figure it out? Like, look, you got one guy with a pulse behind me, and I can still walk. Ooh, I can still walk. Yeah. So, and then, dude, I hope that there is. I am praying, actually, that there is more nuance than Alec Boehm saying, yeah, Don just said we should probably have a plan up there. And we listened and said, that's a good idea, Don.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it was never brought up.
Yeah, because sure wouldn't, buddy. Sure
we've
wouldn't.
Watched them on offense for 4 years, and we keep saying, it doesn't feel like they ever go up there with an idea of what they want to do. Did it really take? Like, I hope that was like a Freudian slip. I don't know. I cannot in my heart of hearts sit here and believe legitimately that they decided on April 12th that, hey, you know, it'd be a good idea. Let's go up there with a plan. I couldn't believe it. But, like, if it's true, maybe we have something here. They're at least playing like it might be true. I have no idea. There's a lot of ducks in the pond, which is great. You got to have ducks in the pond. You got to have traffic on the base paths. But Don said we should have a plan, and we're going to have.
What a great idea. What a thought. Good idea. What? Wait, what? What's a plan? Whoa. Can you explain this to us? Maybe we should do that. Yeah, what a thought.
Yeah, do you think that in my head, you know, Mattingly and old K-Long were talking, and Mattingly was like, hey, Kev, do you give them like a plan when they go up there? And Kevin's like, what?
What's plan?
What? And then Don's like, we don't, you don't tell them that they should have a plan when they go up there? Huh? Like, that's how dumb it sounds. That's how dumb this whole thing sounds. What do you mean? What do you mean that you just decided to start having a plan? It sounds crazy. It sounds crazy.
Well, it especially sounds crazy in the context of the last 5 years. You know, it's one thing if it's a new manager and a team competing for the first time. Like, this has been the issue. We've talked about the plan, the approach, the playoff thing. Like, this has been a constant topic with this group of guys. So it's almost like, has Alec Bohm not paid attention to the discourse for the last five? I mean, it's, whoa, just amazing idea that he had. And we were all like, wow. And the light bulb went out. Yeah, it's so, so strange. And look, maybe, and Bohm did say, and I think this is a little overblown, the whole, you know, like, hitting is contagious. I do believe that. But, you know, the idea that a rise would come here and, because of the way he approaches hitting, that others might follow suit. I mean, Bohm did say after the game that, you know, Arise has helped him in the sense of, like, he's trying to mimic what the guy does and all that type of stuff. So, like, good for Bohm if that's true, if Bohm can have a guy like that around. And I said when Arise got traded, Crawford should follow him around like a puppy. That's the type of hitter he needs to be with speed. Like, great. Like, that'd be awesome if they're taking advantage of actually having someone here who knows how to do this stuff and, like, saying, hey, wow. Like, when we hear about, like, you know, pitchers learning from each other, like Roy Halladay teaching Cole and all these things, like, that stuff matters. It's important. It just feels like that's not something this team has ever done. So, like, yes, that'd be great. I don't, you know, we know that they can go cold again and that.
Oh, yeah.
They've quote unquote hit with the approach for a little bit and then it just, you know, swing away. And so, but it is encouraging, especially the moment side of it all, to your point. Like, you know, Harper and Schwarber, we expected them to, you know, continue to be good or get hot again. And Marsh has been, you know, at a lull, but has been a little better. But Arise is Arise. But the Stott and Bohm, you know, Stott since June 1st, you know, was one of the best F4 players in baseball. And yeah, how about it? Batting over, I think, 305 or something since June 1st. Mm-hmm. And then Bohm, obviously, since July 1st. You know, look, we know these guys, we've seen them revert quickly in the past, but that is the most encouraging thing that's come out of the last couple weeks, I think.
So let me put it this way. All right, let me put it this way. Stott doing well means something.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Bohm doing well. This is a Mickey hot streak.
I feel the exact same way. It's a Mickey Mouse exact same hot streak.
Because you forget, people forget, many people forget, everyone forgets that after he came back from injury last year, his final 28 games, Bohm hit 315 heading into the playoffs and looked similar.
We do forget that. Very correct. Yes.
Everyone seems to forget that. And Stott, of course, had his streaks. But, you know, there's long been the conversation of, man, it's just the next Utley. I don't know. No, I do legitimately believe that Stott is having a moment and arriving a little bit.
Turning a corner, so to speak, as a player.
Well, it's not even like he's turning a corner into a star. He's just finally realizing his potential. Like, you don't have to do a crazy amount of offense to be a very, very valuable player. And, like, dude, I am so happy that it feels like Bryson Stott is finally settling in and being as good as we thought he could be. Like, that's what makes me so happy with what he's doing right now. 28 we'll deal with, but five, like that play he made yesterday, the fact that that was after he's been playing third base for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Arise doesn't make that play, like, no chance.
No, and I do hope Arise is okay. I thought it was an odd time to take him out on the base pass.
It's something has to be wrong. I mean, that was so, especially in a tie game at the time or whatever. Like,
they were down a run
at that point. It was still the one run. So, like, at that point, like, you don't know if this game keeps going longer. All that. It was a really, if there's no injury or whatever, it makes zero sense.
Well, you know.
It's possible.
Par for the course for old Donnie, But I did see him stretching out his back, so I do wonder if there was something there. Regardless, you know, Stott makes that play. He's transitioned to third base very, very well. I also think what he's doing at the plate, he hit the home run, which is nice. I don't need him to be a power hitter. Obviously, I want him to hit 15 to 20. I think that's really, really good. But he's just taking where the pitch is at, and he's hitting it where it's pitched more than I've ever seen him do. Balls in the outside corner, shoot it through the 4-5, 4-6 gap, or the 5-6 gap. You hit it that way. You pull one past the first baseman. Like, I just
three-four gap.
You hit it into center field. Like, I just think you've seen him spray the ball more. Like, listen, one member of this podcast was peddling the pull air percentage at one point.
You were, buddy. That's been important.
I think he tried it.
He tried it, but still, I think the point being that I think trying it was important in terms of his progression as a hitter, is my point.
And I think he's gotten back to doing stop things, which is, mm-hmm. Foul. And maybe that's something that the Arise edition has done, is maybe there's an internal battle of stopping. Like, I could foul off way more pitches than you. Like, watch me do this. And he's legitimately playing his way into into contract extension discussions. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is. Boehm could be as well, but I don't think
we're not doing it.
But Stott, legitimately, he has the second highest F4 since the All-Star break, and that's
and I think the fifth highest since June 1st.
And I think it's only behind PCA, who is on the run.
Speaking of the run, just for the numbers, and I know not everyone knows what F4 is and all that, but you could tell the difference. I think Stott's F4 since the All-Star break is the second best, is like 2.7. PCA's is 5.2.
I know.
Like, he has been insane.
It is crazy that he was a Met. I feel
that's the best. It makes me so happy every time. When I hear Met fans just whine about it, it soothes the soul.
For half season of hobby bias. Hobby bias. Yeah, PCA. PCA was a big draft miss for me. I was not a big fan. I didn't think he could hit. I liked Robert.
It seems like the kind of player who you the skill set and stuff it's all toolsy and stuff, but it not like I could see that. You could see a hole in the swing early, all that kind of stuff. I could see that.
And man, he is about as hot and cold as they come. Like, when he is hot. The first 2 months of the season, he was horrendous.
And then he
just became, Barry Bonds out of nowhere. And how he plays defense is just intoxicating. He is a beautiful defensive center fielder. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable. Anyway, but Stott is, you're starting to, how we talk about players and you can just see their value start to jump off the screen. Like, his value is starting to jump off the screen, and he is someone on this team who does provide something. And listen, eventually maybe he could continue to work his way up towards the top of the lineup. I'm fine with him batting where he is and being like a pest in the middle of the lineup. But I just think his development is so key. And really just the offense as a whole, if they can actually commit to this, if they can actually commit to the pass the baton, which they've tried to do for a couple of years now, but maybe now that Bryce is fully bought in, it feels like, and just being like, okay, let's go. Pass it on to the next guy. Maybe that this could be a recipe for something that we haven't seen in October, which is an offense that is a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, and look, Trey, important for that too, with the pass the baton thing. Obviously, fouled the ball off himself this weekend, missed the game, but that's going to be really important to have Trey be able to at least contribute a little bit from what he did last year. I mean, it's the kind of thing with Stott hitting, with Boehm hitting, where it really can change the complexion of the offense, especially again with those, when your five best hitters right now are left-handed, other than Boehm, like the last week, it's a weird construction thing.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right. I want to get to the pitching, and then I want to get to the Cora thing, and then the bag and all that. But look, first series sweep since June, and they did it without Wheeler or Sanchez. I think that's probably the most shocking part of this sweep, the fact that, you know, we know all the numbers. We know how long they went without winning a fifth starter game and all that. Obviously, Painter, the first inning, really struggled and has struggled in first innings and then settled in and gave him a chance to win the game. Lizardo is their best pitcher at this exact moment. Obviously, over the course of the season, you could debate, but he's been awesome. And then Nola, again, you know, he doesn't go deep, but in a small play, you know, I think a lot of people thought the balls would be flying out, only the one. What do you make of those three and, you know, really how important they are to the point of the bullpen with the question marks we have? Like, these five guys are going to be important for this team.
Well, yeah, I think the optimism surrounding the starting rotation is there's just no way that this is going to continue to happen for Sanchez and Wheeler, you know, and Sanchez was good his last time out. So maybe he's turning a corner. Wheeler is a little bit more concerning just because of the velocity dip. I hope it's a dead arm period. I hope this is not a fatigue setting in kind of thing for Zach. So yeah, the optimism with the rotation is Lizardo is truly emerging as an ace. I mean, if you took out that Marlins start, that a lot of those runs were earned, but they were at the hands of one Seth Johnson, who is fitting in nicely with the A's on Sacramento. But he would have a 1.6 ERA. You know, like he's down to a 3.23. He's been aces outside of like a blow up start every once in a while. I mean, the Marlins start wasn't even a blow up start. It's just kind of the bullpen faltered him a little bit. He couldn't make pitches at the end, which was disappointing. I mean, really, since the beginning of the season, he had the Rocky start and the White Sox start, and that's kind of been it. Every other time, he is either six or seven innings and like one run or less, it seems, or two runs.
Yeah, he's been consistent with that. You know, he's been pretty six innings, two runs, five innings, one run, like that kind of vibe.
Yeah, and he's just been efficient. He's been much, much more efficient and still getting his strikeouts, but also being in the strike zone. And that changeup, I think, has just been a real big, like everyone talks about the sweeper, and I agree. I think the sweeper has leveled up a little bit. It's a new pitch for him, another Cotham success there. But I think the confidence in which that he throws his changeup really has helped level him up a little bit. And then Knowles, you know, I think the fastball is coming out with a little bit of hump right now, which is good. It's not like just dying when it gets to the plate. I think there has to have been some kind of adjustment there because he's actually able to kind of spot it up in the zone now without it getting blasted. So Nola just is perfectly fine for if he can just do that, you know, five innings, one run, five innings, two runs. We say five innings, three runs, but, you know, and then mix in a sixth inning every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as long as he doesn't look DFA worthy or tie one out
totally,
there. Where
totally. I mean, think about where he was the loss. First month of the season. I mean, we were talking about the next 5 years of this or whatever it is and being like, this is an absolute train wreck. Like, if he can just right the ship, Jack, to the point where, you know, he's their fourth starter, you know, that like level, that's huge, considering it's not what you want ideally, but considering what we were thinking, where we were thinking we were with him in this contract, like it is a real important development if he could be serviceable, you know?
Yes. And then Painter, I'm buying Painter after yesterday. I know the first inning was bad. I think that he got off to a slow start and then found his release point and looked like the Andrew Painter that we had seen the last couple of outings. I know the first inning sucked. I don't know why they went back-to-back curveball after Brooks Lee hit one foul 700 feet as well, and they went right back to the well. But I don't know. That's JT's call, I guess. But there is some legit encouraging signs with Andrew Painter. You know, his average RPM in his fastball yesterday was 2550. So for most of the season, it was 2200.
Wow.
That's getting close to where it was. And they've clearly changed the fastball. Do you remember when they sent him down, I threw out the idea that they should turn him into Corbin Burns And
I remember that exact thing that you said. Yes.
Well, they're doing it. I mean, his fastball had 18 inches of vertical movement the other day or yesterday. It had more RPMs. He's cutting it just a little. It's not burns where it's just it's real cut. It's just cutting a little bit. There's not that rise to it that he was trying to get was the rise. He's just being more of a supinator now and cutting it. And he started to get actual results on it. I mean, he had a 27% whiff rate yesterday on his fastball.
That's wild.
Had to be the best of the season. There's no way that he's had.
I can't imagine. Maybe that first start. I don't remember, but I know he's really remember that first start. Like, but even then I doubt it.
And he actually had confidence in throwing it. It was his most used pitch yesterday. I think he threw 33%.
Wow. That Jack, that alone is a real step forward.
Yeah. So the first inning stunk, but everything after that was fine. And hopefully that he remembers that and can come out and be where his release point has been. But I was actually encouraged going back and watching Andrew Painter and him kind of work his way through it. And you got to give him some credit for hanging in there. I mean, early in the season, I think that he folds there and he has to get out of there in two innings. But he buckled up a little bit and gave them five innings. It sucks he allowed five runs, but under the hood, well.
Oh, yeah, you get another fifth. I'm sorry. My bad. You're right. Five. I'm an idiot. I was
but,
the first inning. Yep.
But under the hood, I think there was actually some encouraging stuff from Andrew Painter. So
yeah,
I'm excited for his next time out.
I'm with you. And like it is sometimes you see this. Cole had it for a bit. Tom Glavine, I remember, was a pitcher who you wanted to get on early, like the first inning struggles, and then they would settle in. The numbers are pretty wild. Painter, worst in Major League Baseball among starters of minimum 15 starts in the opening frame. He has a 9.56 ERA in the first inning. But, Jack, since returning from AAA, the 16 innings he's pitched that were not the first innings of his starts, 1.69 ERA, 0.88 whip, 1.30 batting average against. I mean, like, it's a little, you know, it's a small sample size in this specific case and a little, like, of a fluky thing. But it does feel like there's something to this first inning thing with him where if he can kind of figure this out, like, he really could improve.
Well, it sucks because you felt like he got bailed out yesterday with the Buxton double play. Yeah. You're like, okay, you know, you allowed a base runner, whatever. So yeah, we'll see. But I don't leave yesterday being like, oh no, there's the Andrew Painter disaster that I was because I missed the first inning and I was like, oh, this sucks. And then I watched the rest of his outing, and I went back and watched it, and it was like, there's still some good under the hood.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's exciting. It's an important thing for the team for the future and now. All right. I want to get to the Alex Cora thing first. Shout out to Maggie's Waterfront Cafe. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and Maggie. I love Maggie's. Maggie's Waterfront Cafe on Delaware Avenue. Check out Maggie's Waterfront Cafe for every Phillies game and enjoy $3 Miller Lite drafts. That's a great deal. Watch the Phillies on the outdoor decks with the best views in the Northeast. Miller Lite for Phillies win, celebrate responsibly. All right, Fritz, I think, you know, a great weekend from a winning perspective, 10-5 in August. Things are starting to right the ship a bit, but also a very strange development yesterday in the Alex Cora news. Obviously, we know when Cora, you know, when they fired Topper, they went to Cora, he didn't take the job, but there was all this reporting about, you know, Cora's the man for next year and all this stuff. And then it quiets down because Mattingly, you know, they go on this run, second team in baseball from the time he comes in till the All-Star break, all that stuff. Struggles obviously after, but have righted the ship again, 10-5 in August. And yesterday, in the midst of you know, this three-game sweep to it heading in and all that, this report comes out from Bob Nightingale that, hey, Alex Cora is going to be the Phillies manager next year unless Mattingly gets to or wins or potentially even wins the World Series. And the Cora piece of it is not new news. What is strange about it is the idea that this is coming out in season period when they are still competing. Like if it all fell apart, fine, but in season when they are competing, they are in a playoff chase, a fight right now with 30 something games left. And they're, you know, in a playoff spot as of today. They've been playing better baseball somewhat over the last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks compared to prior. It is such a strange time for this Alex Cora leak to come out. I have a theory that I brought up in the morning show. I want to give that to you in a sec, but what do you make of the, the Quora news leaking. Because again, this is like basically making Don Mattingly like a lame duck manager almost in a sense, in the middle of a pennant chase. And we don't know that Mattingly wants a best next year. And there are all these factors to it, but it's just, it feels like incredibly strange timing on August 16th or whatever, for like no reason really for this to come out. What did you make of the leak? What do you make of the whole thing?
Yeah, so I guess I just think that this is Nightingale talking to people around baseball more than anything. But the one thing I do kind of wonder and think is, I don't know if it's from Middleton or it's from Dombrowski, but I wonder if it could be Middleton trying to channel his inner Willie Carpenter from 1980, mm-hmm. who came down and said, "We're going to blow this team up if you guys don't win." So, you know, it could be that. It could also be a combined effort of Dombrowski and Middleton of just keeping the fire on these guys and just saying, "Hey, if you want Mattingly, you better go on a run." It kind of started leaking out that this is going to be the last year of Trey at shortstop unless he figures it out, and they'll start talking about left field after this year, not doing it in the middle of the season. And then obviously going back to the elite
Dombrowski thing, yep.
So maybe this is just a combined effort of Middleton and Dombrowski to put a little bit of extra pressure on this team to let them know that the urgency is here, the urgency is now, and if you don't win, there's going to be changes. That could be a case. I really just think that this is Nightingale is talking to people around baseball, and
it's not a purposeful leak related to the Phillies and more so just, hey, everyone's talking about it kind of thing.
It's Bob Nightingale. I largely just believe that he talks to other people around baseball, but I don't know. Maybe it's a coordinated leak.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money-down financing and lightning-fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Well, so I think it's fascinating, and that's a great point by you. It could be I do think that is possible, that they're, you know, using it as a technique to try and motivate. This is my tinfoil hat theory. And again, this is pure conjecture. I have heard nothing. I know nothing. It's just strictly a trying to, like, because you're right. That is a potential outcome. And I said, if I had to bet, I agree with you. I think the most likely thing is Bob Nightingale heard it from people, and it's been something that's been out there and whatever. It just feels weird that it's now. Here's my potential tinfoil hat theory. Again, I don't think this is what happened, but I just want to put it out there because it's a thought. Who has Mattingly kind of had friction with the most here so far? Certainly recently this season. Harper, right? Like, him and Harper has not been the most, you know, they've kind of gone at each other in the media a little bit. The whole trade deadline thing and Mattingly firing back and the first base comments. There's been some... just a bit of see, like, we don't know, again, we're not there, but it does seem like that we've heard some things, you know, said by each other about the other. We know who Bryce Harper's agent is, Scott Boras, of course. Alex Cora does not have an agent as a manager, but he did have one as his player for his 14-year career. It was Scott Boras. Scott Boras was Alex Cora's agent his entire playing career. Is there any possibility, even not, I'm not saying Bryce told him to do it, but some sort of like Boras is annoyed with the way Mattingly has kind of called out his client, his star guy, the whole thing. And Boras is kind of putting it out there to kind of like let people know, hey, Mattingly's out of here. Do you think there's any possibility of that? Again, I don't think it's likely, but it's interesting that Cora was, he was Cora's agent too.
Yeah, but this has kind of been the feeling all throughout, not just the last week. It's not like that's a surprise that Alex Cora is probably going to be the manager next
year. Of course not, but it is weird that it comes out right now that Nightingale decides now that Nightingale is hearing it more now or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it is.
Well, and he is a Boras guy. Oh, Nightingale.
Yeah, and Nightingale's a Boras guy. Exactly. Nightingale and Heyman are the two guys I associate most with the Boras leaks. So
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It was just, it felt like, you know, a potential tinfoil hat theory that there was some potential. You know,
well, listen, Bryce has been a little on one this year. So,
yeah,
start trying to flex his muscles around and let him know that I'm still Bryce Harper and I can still walk at a 506 clip. He's turning into Abreu, dude. He's just gonna walk and play right field and not run into the wall.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Don't run in the wall. I'm okay with that.
Perfectly fine.
All right. So, I think the Cora thing, I think we're all, at least on this pod, we'll be happy to have Alex Cora here. You know, obviously, I'd rather they win the World Series and Mattingly stays. That'd be awesome. But if it is Alex Cora, I think he's a great manager. I just think, like, chill with it now. Like, let's try and win now, and then we can worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. Although it's a little interesting that the Red Sox went on an unbelievable run.
Now
he had been fired for a while. You know, it's not like they were playing bad baseball after that too. I think they were around 500 and then they just ripped it off. So, you know, if Cora was there, maybe, but also, maybe this is, maybe he just needed a fresh start and needed somewhere new and he'll come here and he will, I would be excited about Alex Cora. I'm mostly over the Mattingly experience. Although if the meeting heard around the world really did work and they talked about having a plan and finally having a plan wins this team a World Series, he can have a lifetime contract for all I care.
Yeah, for sure. There's nothing I want to see more. I'm rooting for Don Mattingly. I just, you know, we'll see how it plays out. All right. Let's get to the take bag in one sec, but Jack and everyone listening, did you know that 1 in 3 people regularly suffer from nausea? And my wife, Emily, is one of those people, and it's been such a problem in our lives. I mean, driving in the car has been an exercise in pain tolerance. We can't go anywhere without Emily's head between her legs and, you know, silence in the car as I sit there praying that she is not going to throw up or just be totally knocked out by it. It's been such a tough thing. I mean, boats, trains, like those aren't even an option. A boat has never been considered for our family because Emily just gets too sick. It is a real impediment to living life. And it's really been a frustration. That is until Relief Band came into our lives. I can't tell you the difference in Emily. As soon as she put that band on her wrist, we talk on rides. She's in a great mood. She says she feels perfect. No issues at all. We're considering a cruise now in the future because that's something we can do now because Relief Band has been an absolute miracle for us. It has changed our lives. Relief Band is 100% natural. No pills, no side effects, and it works in minutes. Relief Band stops nausea from motion sickness, morning sickness, and for meds like GLP-1s, it even works for nausea from hangovers. So put Relief Band on your wrist and turn nausea off. Go to reliefband.com and use promo code James. That's J-A-M-E-S for 20% off. Again, promo code James. Reliefband.com, promo code James. All right, Fritzy, let's bag it.
I do want to give a special shout out to our good friend Mike Kay, who is a reporter for the Panthers. Now he's working
Mike Kay, fan of the pod.
Working for ESPN covering the Panthers.
How about that? I didn't even see that. Congrats to Mike. That's awesome, dude. I'm proud of you, buddy. He's been grinding for a really long time. Was in Jacksonville covering the Jag. Prior to that, a BGN original. So shout out to Mike. Great guy.
we're going to see that goofy mug all over TV. we really are.
That's the only problem with it. I apologize to everyone to have to see that. So.
And if you see him on TV and ask him why he's smiling so much, it's only because Alec Boehm is heated up, as he is the biggest Alec Boehm fan in the world. So, I don't know if he's going to change the complexion of the bullpen, but I just can't believe that they hid Alex McFarland from us for for so long.
It's crazy. Like, he pops, man. He freaking pops.
100% pops. 100% pops. And I understand that he's going to have some concern with throwing strikes and command. But, like, that's part of being a reliever. I want...
I know who doesn't, right, when they throw that fast, you know?
I just want guys with stuff. And by the stuff plus models, he grades out as the best or the second best. Seemingly every night he takes the mound. And I just... He could be someone that could legitimately swing this bullpen. I mean, Bolin is clearly the eighth inning guy. He's settled into that, which is a really, really positive development. Very good to see. And then it's like McFarland Kirkering. I mean, there could be a battle there for this last month and a half of those two and who could possibly get the ball in a postseason series.
Sight unseen, I'll take McFarland.
Of course.
Battle's one, over for me.
So, you know, Raleigh and Alvarado, I hope they switch. I hope that Raleigh becomes the more leveraged lefty.
Has to.
And then McFarland, if he can just throw enough strikes, I think is a really solid, solid weapon. And he threw 102 the other night. And
it's dude.
This guy was in Reading until mid-July. We're just begging him to get brought up to Lehigh Valley just to see what he has. And then maybe, but to just have him sitting there for so long was crazy with the idea of trading him when he could possibly help this team. Incredibly frustrating, incredibly frustrating, but he's here and maybe there's enough time for him to kind of get on a run.
Yeah. He is a potential difference maker for this team. They it's the biggest area of need for them, obviously. And the deadline's passed. They're not bringing in new guys who are going to matter. I mean, Painter potentially in the playoffs in the bullpen, who knows? Like, McFarland really could matter.
Yeah. And if they wanted to get really, really cocky with Gage, they could, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that they're just going to let him ride out the string at Reading, and then we'll see where he starts next year. So listen, they got Sanchez, they got Wheeler, they got Nola in this series against Miami. Miami's what, three games behind the Phillies? So you would really have she'd really have a good chance to bury them. Obviously very important to see how Wheeler throws. You know, need to see that the velocity start ticking back up and looking more like the Zach Wheeler. So
that's correct, three games.
Cool. All right. So quick little minor league minute. I was down the beach on Friday. You know, I drove back down.
So we had a call up, someone heading to AA. We're excited about.
Oh, Cody Bowker. Yes. Yeah, Cody Bowker. He's striking out everyone. So it's good to see. I still think he's a reliever long term, but regardless, he's showing really good strikeout numbers. So very excited for Cody Bowker. I think he's being brought up because Braden Tucker is going on the IL, and the Reading team there is in a playoff push. Nori also started his rehab assignment. I'm assuming he'll be in Jersey Shore and then end the week in Reading, and he'll be back up. He's missed like so much time, which sucks because I was excited about this year of Dante Nori, but it's been robbed.
The WBC, it was so much hype coming in, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did get a hit in his first game back. So yes, Bowker to AA, which is exciting. But Friday night, sitting down and, you know, boys go down and it's kind of just me sitting on the back deck. It's like, yeah, you know, I could sit inside, maybe watch a movie, but yeah, you look at the Threshers lineup. he got Reese Maroney in it. You know,
oh, I got to.
Bogey's in it. Gasparino. I tell you what, man. I might be more of a Threshers head than a Phil said. The Threshers are perfect. You want to know why the Threshers are perfect? Because to start the season, they have all the draft picks from last year, and you get excited about those guys. You get some DSL call-ups. And then once those guys start moving up, the draft happens, and then boom, there's replenishing of all the Threshers.
What an exciting thing.
It's the best. Yes. It's the best. All right, so some things
that happen. The best, by the way, DSL, Renteria, those numbers just keep – oh, man. He's like the best hitter in the DSL.
He was 12 for 18 this week.
Dude, I'm so excited about him. Like we joke around and we're both excited about the future and the players. Like, you are Mr. Like, Renteria, Like, he is my baby. Like, I love him so much. I am so freaking excited about that guy.
I did tweet that it's hard. You'd be hard pressed to find 15 more important people in my life than Francisco Renteria.
I believe that. Yeah.
He has to carry us through the 2030s.
Yeah, I really am all in on that guy.
The Spangler Aiden, by the way, is doing everything apparently.
No, please.
Come on. And Renteria, very, very special. Very, very special. Also, I think we're getting close to seeing Spangler in some Clearwater games, which is even more
like you were just talking about. The guys come in, the excitement. Oh, as if you could be more excited about Clearwater.
Yeah, Spangsy. Anyway. So Caden Bogenpohl set a Threshers record for hardest hit baseballs on Friday. He hit a home run 117 miles an hour.
Holy wow, dude.
And he hit another, he didn't hit a home run, but he hit a base hit at 116 miles an hour. Both were the hardest hits in Threshers history.
Dude, that's hard, man. I mean, that's like the best hitters in baseball in the majors hit it that hard when they hit it their hardest. You know, I mean, that's like close to as hard as baseballs get hit, you know?
I think Schwarber off Darvish was 120.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I mean. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Bogenpohl, and he's hitting 366, which is good. So he's got to get the ball off the ground. When he gets the ball off the ground, if he gets the ball off the ground, my updated comp is Adam Dunn.
Yeah, which it would be unreal. That'd be awesome.
You take Adam Dunn in this day and age. Imagine Adam Dunn in this day and age.
Oh, this is his era. If you've been around, are you kidding me?
Strikeout, home outcomes, run,
baby. Yeah.
So Bogan pulls off a really good start. Reese Maroney playing the flag as he's not going to be a star. I don't think he'll be a starter, but he's a guy that's going to help this team win ball games. The guy can just hit. He's hitting over 500 since his first week down there. And he is looking the part of just a winning baseball player. And then the guy who I'm really planting my flag on, because I think he's just a sleepwalk to being a 3-1 player in the big leagues, is Will Gasparino. I don't get why he was there in the fifth. There's some swing and miss concerns, some strikeout concerns, but he is elite in center field. He took a route to a baseball that I haven't seen a Phillies outfielder take in 100 years. It feels like he almost went backwards and then got right underneath it and started ascending as he was catching it to try to throw the guy out at third base. I mean, the defense, the speed, when he hits the ball, it just jumps off the bat. I've said he's a tool shed. He's an absolute tool shed. I keep seeing Jason Worth. I love Will Gasparino.
Love this.
Love Will Gasparino. And then it's good to see Cade had a good start yesterday for Jersey Shore. I think he's still a reliever, but he needed a good outing. He had back-to-back bad outings. So Cade over Mueller, good stuff there. We mentioned Francisco. He was, 12 for 18 this week with an OPS over 2,200.
I love him.
And then the other guy there, and this DSL team's a problem. Juan Parra has obviously been one of the guys we talked about, but also we mentioned Edwin Ramirez, who had another big week. As he's still hitting over 400, and they have two games left.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Already clinched a playoff spot. So, yes, the DSL team, like from smart Phillies people, that have followed for a while, this is one of their actually good DSL teams.
Well, and it's exciting because that is historically something we've been terrible at, you know. I mean, we have just compared to other teams. So, like that alone, if they can turn this into a real pipeline potentially for them moving forward, I mean, that could be a real franchise changing type of thing. I know that sounds big, but it's true. You know, it really could. So,
it could. So, that's the minor league minute.
Love it. What a good one. That was a fun one today. Thank you. All right. So Marlins 2-3.
Need 2-3. Wheeler and Sanchez, come on, man.
Have to win 2, especially after getting swept down there last time at the 12th spray and then the sweat. They need it. Tiebreakers, too. I mean, I know that, like, you have to start thinking about that. I mean, with the Padres, I mean, that series, the end of August, beginning of September in Arizona is going to be gigantic. They got some big series coming up, and, you know, the tiebreaker things could matter. So it's something we didn't used to think about as much with the one-game playoffs, like, matters, so... It's a big series coming up against the Marlins. Who'd have thunk it in late August? How about it?
Yeah. How about it? 2-3. Love it. 2-3.
2-3. All right. We'll be back on Thursday to react to it all. Until then, East Roots and Seltzer.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.